I know, a good job, but in reality what Mike wanted to do basically was to showcase the type of activities being done at the Discovery Farms related to irrigation efficiency. And just in case you are not familiar with the Discovery Farms, this is a novel project. I think maybe 6 to 7 states have adopted it. Basically, we partner with a family and they with a farmer, and they agreed to monitor sediment and nutrient runoff, and monitor water use, try to account for the amount of water being used, and be willing to implement, I guess, best management practices related to not only irrigation, but in general to also associated with nutrient management. Some of the objectives is perhaps contribute to document, water use under real conditions. I think this is very important for strategic planning. You know, we in Arkansas have serious problems, but related to water quantity. But I think in my opinion, the potential of this program is on their ability to attract an audience that otherwise will not come to the edge of the field. I know, for instance, on the Discovery Farms, they have had regulators, EPA administrators, they have had the general public, Walmart officers have come, and even our legislators. Something that I always find interesting is when I hear our representatives talking about Arkansas being blessed with plentiful water. Sure enough, we have the Mississippi River on the east side of the state. We have the Arkansas River that cut the states by half. So that we really have a lot of water, but we don't have any infrastructure. And agriculture is not necessarily at the top of the designated water uses. So the fact that we do have some, you know, doesn't mean that it is available for agriculture. So I think it's really important to have that, this type of programs that are somehow sexy to attract people who otherwise would not come there. Something we know about agriculture, might be particular just to Arkansas, is that 80% of the water is demand or is used by agriculture, and we estimate that by the year 2050, groundwater will supply only 20% of the water demands if we don't do something about it. And we know that the rainfall doesn't happen during the growing season. I also hear people talking about Arkansas. Oh, they get 55 inches of rain. Yes, but most of that rain is off this season. I've been following rainfall patterns, as I know, like 5 to 6 years ago, we used to supply perhaps 25% of the ET to the crop. In the last years now, with the exception of 2014, last year we've been supplying 50% of that demand. So it has considerably increased. So they put a lot more pressure on the already depleting water sources we have. So it is very important that that we continue doing work on that. And of course, we have the issue of infrastructure. There was an irrigation project there in Arkansas that was paused because of an issue with an habitat, since then, I don't know if they have yet to resolve that issue. Anyways, this is, just to give you an example, this is a farm in southeast Arkansas, a cotton farm. Well, as many farms now, used to be a cotton, now is a multi-cropping system with corn, but I know some here, this particular farmer has 4 fields where they are implementing some type of monitoring. But I know that there is some, and one of those is a cotton field. What they do there is monitor runoff water quality, meaning basically nitrogen and phosphorus escaping from the field with the sediment, quantity of water, irrigation water management, evapotranspiration, soil moisture, soil health. I realize that's a rice field, you know. It's not a cotton field, but that's fine, you know. I guess that, these fields, yeah, it's amazing how when you look at in your small iPad, you don't see those details still, you know. And these fields are instrumented with devices like surge valves. You know, we have soil moisture monitoring. We have, you know, again, this is ET gauge. I don't know if you are familiar. We trying to schedule irrigation based on ET gauges or anemometers. We've been working with these anemometers for 5 or 6 years now. And this is if there is something I've learned through my years in extension is it doesn't matter that you offer our farmers with the best technology available. You know, sometimes we tell a farmer, here, this is the latest technology, run with it, but the problem is that he cannot even walk. You know, and what we find about the anemometer is that it's very user-friendly, and the farmers we've been working with have kept up with it, with them, because, I mean, it's fairly easy. It might not be the perfect, but it works fine. Something we've done, you know, with the anemometer is nothing else than a PVC pipe that graduated with a ceramic cup and a membrane that simulates a plant leaf. We have compared readings against Class A evaporation pan and weather stations, and the values seem to be they are really close. Something I was really interested in because it looks very simplistic. It's like I was interested in knowing how reproducible the values were. So we put, you know, 4 anemometers together, and we during 3 months we took readings, and after 3 months we noticed that there was a less than 2% error. So that's why, you know, we feel that they are doing a good job. And again, they are very simple. And in fact, I have since I speak Spanish, I get calls from Central America. So I talk to some people about this, and right now, I think there are around 100,000 acres of sugarcane being irrigated based on the anemometer. So again, it's fairly simple to use. So we are doing that to schedule irrigation. I would like to say that the activities at the Discovery Farm are accompanied by additional research being done by several people in the state. Some of this work relates to validate our current recommendations. Like this is a study. You know, this particular picture is one of our studies where we're looking at different irrigation at different deficits. We want to make sure that again the information we provide a farmer is research based or field research based. You know, have some based on current production practices and based on perhaps some of these cultivars we have now that seem to be responding different to whether it is irrigation or nutrition. Something else is there is no question there is a big issue there that is affecting our water use efficiency is soil crusting. Now, most of our silums in the state are up to 70% silt. An average organic matter in Arkansas is 0.5. So anytime it rains, you see, we have this problem, and the problem with this is not only you see those cotton plants there not only affects emergence, but it also affects water infiltration, and it has also an increases environmental liability because if we side dress urea, which is the most common form, and the soil has crossed, and next time we irrigate, we always tell them, you know, irrigate after you broadcast your urea, you know, a lot of that urea is going to end up in the irrigation. So there are different implications. So again, we are trying to find solutions. I know this is just to give you an example. This is one of our experiments where you see this soil might be crusted. This is an irrigation, and you see there is very little infiltration compared to a situation where we have done something about it. In this particular case, is we have applied gypsum there, you know. So you see, and these are small plots, not really that small, but you know, this is almost side by side comparison. This is another situation where, you know, this is under field conditions where irrigation was, this is volumetric water content. We had, again, I missed to say that we had moisture sensors placed 7 inches deep. We used Decagon's EC5s here, you know, so that's why we're showing volumetric. And here, in this particular case, you see that farmer irrigated, and there is basically no infiltration there, and we are talking about almost 3 inches, of water, and compared to where we have done. And this is average soil moisture content compared to where we have done something about it. This is another stuff. So, I mean, we could go ahead and do a very good job trying to estimate demand, but there are still some issues we need to address. So again, what we are doing at the Discovery Farm is concurrent with all the research going on there. We have a state-of-the-art equipment down there, and I know when I was here with Texas A&M, I dealt with these sample collectors, and I know they can be a pain in the butt, but anyways, this is that what we do. We use them to estimate weighted nutrient runoff and sediment runoff, and they have collected some data, staltropes, all the flumes, and this is just a particular piece of information that Mike had probably, and this is 2013, I think they are still analyzing the data, but again, you see cumulative runoff that is probably related to to rainfall at the beginning or at the end of the growing cycle, maybe due to irrigation during the growing cycle. So they've been able to measure or quantify that. Of course, you know, there is going to be significant variability from field to field. I'm just showing you a good case scenario, the scenario that you will show to EPA, I guess. this is a total natural loss in runoff. You know, here we normally recommend 100 pounds of N per acre. I know he uses 32%, so, you know, injected, so that helps certainly with reducing the potential losses. But you see that the accumulated losses are really low. This is nitrogen, this is phosphorus in the runoff. Again, when the cumulative was less than 1.9% of the phosphorus applied. I don't think they applied that much over there because our soils are normally optimum when it comes to phosphorus fertilizations. And since soil testing is done for free in Arkansas, our farmers are very good at doing soil tests, and they use soil tests to base our fertilizer recommendations. So you see a very little loss here in this particular field. If we summarize and the data, this field called Weaver in particular, you see this is how much they apply NMP, and how much they lost, and they quantified the amount. And this is on that particular field, 27 pounds of N, 19 pounds of P. Okay, which is really, I don't know, someone may consider it low, someone may consider it high, but that's what it is. At least it's data that it is available. So in conclusion, I mean, I'm doing a very good job, my time. Data indicated, again, we use the FAWCET program that some of you might be familiar. There is no question that it helps a lot with increasing irrigation use efficiencies, the anemometer seems to be a very good tool, easy to implement, and data indicates high efficiency and good environmental stewardship. And I think that's basically it. So I really appreciate your attention. If you have any comments, questions, I think there is time for one. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Leo. And that concludes our session. We got the award ceremony, I do believe, right here, right now. But I'd like to take this time to thank all the speakers and those of you that stuck out through the multiple technical difficulties and delays.
So if we could have about a five-minute break here to get organized, and then we'll begin the award ceremony.
Here we go.
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate everyone coming out for the awards ceremony. And before I get started, you know, first and foremost, I want to thank our sponsors. When I was a graduate student, or really these awards in general, I think promote a lot of the good work that's being done. I think they're very important. And without our sponsors, obviously this wouldn't happen. So I'd like to thank BASF, who's sponsoring the Senior Physiologist of the Year Award, Dow, who's sponsoring the Young Physiologist Award, and then as Monsanto sponsors the Graduate Student Competition. So, you know, without them, none of this would happen. So definitely want to extend my thanks to them. So the first award that we will be giving out this, or I guess they're actually earned, they're not just given out, but the first award will be the Senior Physiologist of the Year Award. So this is really a lifetime achievement award in terms of physiology, as far as the accomplishments accumulated throughout a career. And it's really one of the most prestigious awards that we have. For these awards, these individuals have to be nominated. And so what I'm going to do, instead of me standing up here talking, I'm going to invite Guy Collins, who nominated our recipient this year, to come up and say a few words and to carry out the remainder of the Senior Physiologist Award.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder, and I want to reiterate what he said on how important and how valuable the sponsorship is for these awards, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to recognize these individuals for their efforts. So we do want to thank the sponsors for supporting this and this group. There's really no way to talk about this year's recipient without giving them away immediately. I know this individual very well. He trained me through graduate school. He's been, there's a lot I could say about his work. I mean, he's been an integral part of this group and with the National Cotton Council. He was very instrumental in getting the Journal of Cotton Science started several years ago. One of the things I admire about him most is he consistently incorporates very high-level physiology in a lot of his extension recommendations. He's one of the funniest guys I know, but he's a true friend and a mentor. So without further ado, this year's recipient is Dr. Keith Edmiston.